Hi, you guys. Welcome back to the Uptown Rundown podcast. In today's episode, we are going to talk. We have actually quite a few things to talk about today. I'm thinking of when I want to take some time away from the podcast. Because I think we've been doing like episodes for what? 13 weeks straight? 14 weeks straight? That's a while. And I just want to take a break. I'm not even sure if I'll take a break. But if I do, it'll probably be for like the entire month of June, or at least the majority of June. But anyway, just wanted to throw that out there. And then also, when I first was planning on doing the podcast, I wanted to, like I had all these different segments in mind, and I never did it. I don't know if I'm gonna try to bring these little segment ideas back. I kind of just like the way I do it now. But definitely what I want to do, at least right now, is something this week that made me like excited for something, and then something this week where I was just like, ew, I don't care. So let's talk about what the ew I don't care is. What the ew I don't care is this Game of Thrones spinoff. One of my friends said, oh, did you see the picture? No, what? I think she said, oh, are you gonna watch? And immediately I thought of, oh, I wonder which Game of Thrones spinoff, because remember when Game of Thrones was ending and they were like, yeah, you know, we have like 4 spinoffs planned. And I'm just like, what? And no one wants it. No one wants any of these, depending on who is involved in the writing, depending on, like, no one cares, because, like, you already ruined it. You already ruined Game of Thrones, so who wants the spinoffs? Remember when they said that they were going to do a spinoff on, what are those people called? Remember the little leprechaun people with the fireballs? If you watched, you know who I'm talking about. The green people. Remember when they were going to do a spinoff on them? So, I don't know what happened to that. Kind of glad that isn't what seems to be what the spinoff is about. So, what the spinoff is about is the Targaryen family, and it's supposed to take place 300 years prior to the events of the show. They had some pictures. They had some pictures of the show on, it's, you know, they're circulating on a bunch of different news publications, and it looks really cheap. I don't know what it is. Doesn't it look cheap? The makeup looks cheap. The costumes look cheap. The hair, it just didn't, I don't know. So that's something that I'm not very excited about at all. So what I am excited about, so I'm recording this on a Saturday. So, you know, so this is going up Sunday. So I'm recording this yesterday. And what I'm very excited about, not that I'm ever excited to hear about billionaires talking to the public, but Elon Musk is going to be on Saturday Night Live. And the only reason that I'm excited is because that means that, so there's lots of speculation about him talking about Dogecoin. And if you're not invested, then I think you're simply a loser. That's what I think. If you aren't invested in it, then you're a loser because you're gonna lose out. Every time Elon tweets about it, every time he, you know, like then the price just shoots up, it spikes. It levels out eventually, but the new floor is always a little higher than the previous floor. You know what I'm saying? So I am very excited to see what happens after tonight, because I think it's going to go way up. So it's at like 65 cents now. And what, maybe a month ago, it was barely, it wasn't even, I don't even think it was 10 cents a month ago. And I'm so mad that I just happened to invest like right after it shot up to, you know, 25 cents. Like, I could have gotten in when it was 10 cents, but I was the loser then. So at this point, if you are invested, you are a loser. So that's all I have to say about that. So moving on, let's talk about some politics now. Okay. what should we talk about first? Let's talk about Caitlyn Jenner. Why not? So Caitlyn Jenner is, I said this before, she's running for governor of California because Gavin Newsom, so I didn't even realize this. Well, actually, I did know this. I knew that there was an effort to recall Gavin Newsom. So what that means is, basically, it's like, you know, a recall is when they want someone to be replaced. And you need a number of signatures. You need quite a few signatures. I actually looked it up so that I could actually really know what I'm talking about. So basically, the California Constitution requires the number of signatures to be equal to 12% of the votes cast in the last election. So all they need is 12% of however many people voted total in the last election. If you get that many signatures to recall Gavin Newsom, then a recall election will be had. So in this case, that's about 1.5 million signatures. They were able to get, I think, 2.1 million signatures. The Democrats in California were like, oh, we have to verify them and blah, 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 blah. Do all this extra, probably as a stall tactic, honestly. Probably just to stall and to, I don't know. But anyway, so I don't even think we're entirely sure if a recall is going to happen because people are really saying different things. No one really knows yet, but it's probably going to be a recall election. Probably is going to be a recall. And you might be wondering, well, why does everyone want him to be recalled? And I can't answer that because I don't think anything. So the reasons that they cite for wanting to recall Gavin Newsom is like it's all about Corona. And it's like, because like he did a bad job with lockdowns, with all this stuff. And here's the thing, I don't think anyone can say someone's doing a bad job. Even Greg Abbott in Texas, I don't know if he's doing a bad job. Remember now that Greg Abbott, governor of Texas, says that there will be no more masks at all. No more capacity restrictions. Now, I think many people would say that that is a bad thing to do. But do we really know that? I don't even think we really know that. Like, I feel like in 5 years, in 10 years, we'll be able to say, oh, that was a bad choice. Because, I don't know, the way things stand now, when it comes to states like Florida and Texas, where they have basically no restrictions, and they're not having a spike in numbers, but then some people say that those numbers are being manipulated, I feel like we don't know yet if those types of choices are bad choices, or if they're good ones. I forgot who said a long time ago, like, is the solution, I forgot the saying, someone might know what it is, but basically it's something like, are the lockdowns doing too much? That's what the questions have been, that's what the questions will probably be for a while, until we are able to look back in 5 years, in 10 years, to really see what were the real numbers and, you know, what are the real consequences. Because, like, I don't know. You know, so that's why I say I don't really know if Gavin Newsom did a bad job or a good job. I mean, we probably should have been on a stricter lockdown, right? We probably should have been. But did we have to go as far as what we did? I don't know. I don't even think we went that far. That's the thing. I don't think we went that far. But lots of people do think we went too far. So we don't know what that happy medium should have been or could have been even. Again, I think it's going to take a number of years and us looking back and then we're able to much more objectively look at this information. So everyone's saying that Gavin Newsom's doing a horrible job. His corona restrictions are horrible. So now they want him recalled. And I don't know if anyone on the Democrat side, I don't know if he's able to run again. You know what I mean? I don't know that. I don't know if he's able to run in the recall election. Like, if since enough people have voted and they want you out, you get to run again? I don't really know. But who is running on the Republican side is Caitlyn Jenner. And she decided to go on Sean Hannity to talk about it. Do you go on Sean Hannity to reach California voters? I think not. Do you go on Fox News to reach California voters? Probably not. I don't really understand what that is. I'm waiting for her to go on The View or something where they'll really grill her, because Caitlyn Jenner is a joke. A joke! She said a few things. Everyone is really harping on the... So I'm only going to talk about the parts of the interview that I care about. Most of it was stupid. It really was. Most of it was really dumb. Thankfully, so apparently it was a 60-minute interview, but Fox News, they only released like 20 minutes of it. If that. I don't even know if it was 20 minutes that we actually saw. But what we did see was nonsense. What we saw was a lot of weirdness. Like, who is voting for Caitlyn Jenner? Are the Republicans gonna vote for a trans person? Is that what's gonna happen? Like, is that what we're gonna see? The Republicans who, the conservatives who hate trans people? Like, honestly, like, these people fight against trans people's rights. So why are you running on their ticket? Like, do you really? And then you have the liberals, and they all hate you too, Caitlyn. So who is voting for you? Do you understand what I mean? It's like you have alienated. It's like you have angered both sides. You angered the liberals by your proposed policies, and you anger the conservatives just by being who you are. So something that I found really strange with the Caitlyn Jenner interview and with her politics. Here's one thing. Remember when I said that rich people don't actually have politics? Their only politics is what keeps them rich. So keep that in mind. Keep that in mind, okay? Because this woman has rich politics. That's all it is. She's not a conservative. I don't know what she is not conservative. Rich people are not conservative. Rich people are not liberal. Rich people are rich. And that's all that matters. So let's discuss. What did she talk about? She said that she wants to protect the integrity of sports, of girls' sports, of boys' sports. What does this mean? This has to do with trans people competing in sports. So, like, if someone is a trans woman, should she be able to compete in a woman's sport? Does that make sense? So this is like a very touchy subject. It's been in the news quite a bit as of recent. I feel like it was in the news maybe 10 years ago, but now it's like really in the news. And because this is a thing that conservatives do, conservatives will jump on a talking point and like hammer it home. When Bush was running, it was all about gay marriage, right? And like, oh, it's going to destroy America. And like, oh, like they literally said that. They literally got on the stage and said that if gay people get married, then America's going to burn. This country's going to burn. And look, here we are 20 years later. We're all still here. I'm still here. You're still here. George Bush is somehow still here. So it's like, okay. Remember when they said that the Chinese were going to come and take our jobs? It's like, remember when that was a huge talking point? So, both those things have failed. Both those have failed. So now, we have moved on to trans people. We have moved on to hating trans people because they are, like, on the cusp of getting rights. You know what I mean? It's like, that's what conservatism is. How long can you deny someone rights? That's what it is. It used to be black people. It used to be women. And, you know, now it's trans people and immigrants. That's, oh, and felons. So keep that in mind. Felons, trans people, and immigrants. For conservatives, none of them deserve rights. None of those people deserve rights. And if you are running as a conservative, you have to agree that none of those people deserve rights. Otherwise, you will alienate conservative voters. Okay? So that means none of them can have rights. So what Caitlin has said is that trans women should not be able to compete in sports along with biological women. So how ironic that Caitlyn Jenner competed in a women's golf tournament. Remember that? Remember that? I had that little article up. I don't know where it went, where it talked about how she competed in a women's golf tournament in 2016. And it's like, you're a trans woman. Why are you competing with biological women? So, do you see what I mean when I say that rich people's politics is rich? Whatever keeps them rich is where their politics will go. Like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to them, the public. Because remember, conservatism is not populist. It is not popular. And it is just a power grab. But the thing is, it's not a power grab for people like Caitlyn to grab onto. Like, you can't grab on to conservatism as power when you're trans. Like, you can't do that. They are not going to embrace you. Who on the conservative, who is going to embrace her? That's my question. I have no idea who's going to vote for this woman. She's crazy. Even her family's not going to vote for her. Is Kanye going to? I don't even, you know, I have no idea. She is absolutely crazy. Another thing she said was, now remember what I said about rich and rich politics? She's saying how, like, everyone's leaving California and there's this mass exodus of California. And it is quite true. That is very true. They actually just, I think they lost one Senate seat, or House seat, I'm sorry. They lost one House seat. Remember, the number of House representatives per state is contingent upon said state's population. So, since the population is counted every 10 years with the census, that's why everyone's always up in a frenzy whenever the census is coming and they're like, fill it out, because you don't want to lose House seats, right? So, California lost, I believe, one House seat, which is kind of crazy because I thought everyone wanted to move to California, right? And I think New York lost a House seat as well. But you know who gained? I think Texas gained too. But anyway, none of this is part of the point. The point is, remember, rich politics, right? So Caitlyn Jenner's talking, she's answering the question that Sean Hannity asks her. And the question had to do with immigrants and people leaving California. Caitlin says that she knows an immigrant, someone. She never actually said who he is, but she mentioned that this person has said that they've been in the country for 17 years, that they have been trying to become a citizen for 17 years. Here's the thing. She didn't embrace the conservative hatred for immigrants. That's a problem for her, I think. This is a problem. She presented this person as a sort of compassionate, like, she couldn't speak more highly of this person. She said that they're the greatest person, that she would help them become a citizen if she could. And that's not something that you can say if you're running as a Republican. I'm sorry. That's not something you can say. So she's like what? So she's like against trans people having, you know, being able to compete in biological sports. That makes no sense, but you know what I'm trying to say. She is, I don't think that they talked about felons. I don't think they did. But they did talk about immigrants. And she did say, but what she did say to cover it up, she swept her previous compassion under the rug and cleaned it up real quick by saying, because Sean Hannity asked her, would you complete the wall? And she's like, yeah, what kind of question is that? Is the wall for California only? Caitlin said like, we need a strong, like, we can't have a country without a strong border, without a strong wall. We've been here all this time without a wall, and nothing has happened. Nothing has happened. I think it's just dumb. Why are we talking about building a wall when this is supposed to be between countries, not between California and Mexico? Is that who? Like, dumb. Just dumb, dumb, dumb. The last dumb thing that I want to talk about relating to Caitlyn Jenner and this nonsense is the fact that she says she is, here we go, fiscally conservative and socially liberal. I can't stand when people say that. Hold on, I have to get some water. I'm sorry, you guys. Let me get some water before I go on this little tirade here. Okay. So she says she is fiscally conservative and socially liberal. Now, you might know someone who says this. I feel like I know some people who have said this, and I don't think most people understand the implication of saying these words. I don't think most people understand that. I do think that people like Caitlyn do understand it. However, she understands that most people do not. And therefore, she can use everyone's ignorance to her advantage. When we talk about being socially conservative, I mean, yeah, right, no. When we talk about being fiscally conservative and socially liberal, what does that mean? That means that you want people to do whatever they want to do, right? But you are probably against what? Raising the glass ceiling. You're probably against the government taking on more debt. That's what people probably think when they say nonsense like this. Fiscally conservative and socially liberal. I'm going to tell you what it really looks like. What it really looks like is you can't have social programs if you're being so fiscally conservative. You can't have, like, how are you going to have Social Security? How do you have Social Security if you are not fiscally liberal? If you are not fiscally liberal, how do you have social services? How do you have social security? I feel like most people, even on the conservative side, like, conservatives are plenty happy to collect their stimulus check. Conservatives are more than happy to collect their social security when they get old enough. So, like, but all the while, they're yelling and screaming about no handouts, no handouts. Let me tell you guys something. They only refer to things as handouts when we're talking about poor black people. That's the only time that anything is referred to as a handout. When we're talking about students, it's called a Pell Grant. When we're talking about old people, it's Social Security. When we're talking about rich people, it's called a tax break. Okay? So it's like, stop it. It's all handouts. When you're talking about homeowners, it's a mortgage interest Tax write-off. So, stop it. Stop this. Stop it. And here's the thing. I will take any handout. I love a handout. I will take every handout allowed. As will anybody. As will anybody. Anyone who is so, you know, it's just, I cannot be bothered with people who talk like this because it means something. Like, when there's a natural disaster and your like, for example, if there's a tornado and your house gets picked up and gets thrown somewhere else, you have FEMA to come and save you, right? At least that's what that's what's supposed to happen. FEMA's supposed to come and save you when there's a natural disaster. I'm sure conservatives are very happy to have a social program like FEMA to come and house them and clothe them when their whole world gets blown up. Like, but then again, you want to be fiscally conservative? How are you going to be fiscally conservative and not want to fund these programs? Conservatives always like to say, oh yeah, there's such a homeless problem, blah, 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 blah. But you don't want funding to go to the homeless shelters. Homeless people complain all the time about not wanting to go to the homeless shelters because, right, and rightfully so, because these homeless shelters are horrible. People in New York have said that they saw someone get their head chopped off by a machete. People talk about getting their stuff stolen. So why go to a homeless shelter, right? Because you could end up dead. You could literally end up dead. You know what I mean? So, but conservatives say, we don't want to fund that homeless shelter because we're fiscally conservative. But oh, how sad that homeless people are on the street. Pick one. You can't have it both ways. That's a thing about conservatism that I will never, ever, ever get. So, moving on, Caitlyn Jenner, you need to get out of here. Get out of here. It's never going to happen. Do I think she's going to win? No. Because who's going to vote for her? Who would ever do that? I can't think of, are you going to vote for Caitlyn Jenner? Honestly. So stupid. Next, let's talk about more conservatives that are, it's just the weirdest. So, Mitt Romney and Kristen Sinema. Let's discuss. So, Kristen Sinema is she from Arizona? I should have looked this up. I'm sorry, but so she is a Democrat, believe it or not. Believe it or not, Kristen Sinema is a conservative. I mean, is a Democrat. But she's a fraud. She's fraudulent, you guys. So she ran. Remember when I told you about Kristen Sinema and how she voted no on raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour? Like, are you kidding me? But remember how her whole campaign was run on her being, you know, this like open bisexual woman and this anarchist. And, like, she got sworn in with blue hair and, like, was looking at Mike Pence all crazy. Do you remember that? Do you remember this woman? So, she's horrible. So, she voted no for a $15 minimum wage, along with Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney voted no for a $15 minimum wage. So, what did Mitt Romney and Kristen Sinema decide to do? Mitt Romney and Kristen Sinema decided to team up and say, let's propose $11 an hour minimum wage. What is wrong with these people? See, Mitt Romney is like, we're gonna get on him in a minute, but let's talk about Kristen Sinema, actually. Kristen Sinema is a fraud. She's trying to play the politics game so that she can get reelected. See, the thing is, she ran on being not just a Democrat, but like even farther left than Democrat. Does that make sense? So, excuse me. So she is like, because remember, most Democrats are conservative Democrats, right? But she is like, she's like, at least she presented herself to be kind of like where I stand as well. You know, like left. If that makes any sense. So, but now she is presenting herself as not left, she's presenting herself as like center left. Does that make sense? So she's like right in the middle, but like leaning a little bit to the left because she is voting no for a $15 minimum wage, but supports an $11 minimum wage. But, and then the thing is, she thinks that by supporting this $11 minimum wage, that she's doing such a great thing. What is $11 gonna do? You live on $11 an hour. These House representatives get $174,000 a year, so I want one of them to live on $11 an hour. None of them are gonna be able to live on $11 an hour, but they expect us to. They expect everyone else to do so. Well, let's do a little math. How much is $174,000 a year hourly? 174 divided by 52. We'll divide that by what, 40? Okay. So that's like $84 an hour. So Kristen, you're making $84 an hour and you want us to make 11? I need more water. Sorry, hold on. So, Kristen is making $84 an hour, plus like who knows what else she's making, you know what I mean? Because these House representatives, these people in Congress, their houses cost 8 figures, their houses cost 7 figures. What bank is giving you a loan for a $10 million house when you're making not even $200,000 a year? Where's the other income coming from? That's what I want to know, Miss Maxine Waters, Miss Nancy Pelosi. I want to know where the rest of the money is coming from. But here's the thing. I already know where it's coming from. It's coming from kickbacks. We all know this. We all know it's coming from kickbacks. We all know it's coming from donations, from quote-unquote donations, but we're not even going to talk about that. Anyway, Kristen Sinema's a fraud. She's a fraud, and I hope you guys in Arizona or wherever you're at don't vote her back in. Like, you need a new Democrat in there. I don't even know. At this point, a Republican would probably be better. Let's be honest, because at least you don't have a turncoat. This woman is a turncoat. She is a fraud. She is, anyway. And next, let's get on Mitt Romney. So Mitt Romney is he's doing some really weird stuff too. So Mitt Romney not only proposed $11 an hour minimum wage along with Kristen Sinema, but he also, with some other politician somewhere, whatever, proposed a $10 an hour minimum wage. Remember, Mitt Romney is from Utah. He is like the Mormon guy. And, you know, he used to be the governor of Massachusetts. How random is that? But anyway, so they want to raise, he says we should raise the minimum wage to $10 an hour by 2025, you guys. So it wouldn't even be immediate. It would be over the course of a few years. Meanwhile, inflation's going to eat that up. And again, it's like you were talking about Mitt Romney's making $174,000 a year. Not only, but that's pocket change to him because he was an employee. No, he owned Bain Capital, which is what? That's a venture capitalist firm, right? So like he owns a venture capital and his father was a congressman or a governor or something rich. I think his grandfather was rich too. So again, you guys, we got rich politics coming into play. We got people who probably don't even believe in what they're advocating for, but it keeps them rich. It keeps him rich, keeps him and his family very, very rich. They're not even just rich, they are wealthy. Like at this point, like Mitt Romney doesn't have to work a day in his life. His kids do not have to work at all, and they'll be fine. They'll be perfectly fine. What a mess. So an article came out that if the minimum wage is $10 by 2025, it would fall short of the peak purchasing power minimum wage workers had in 1968. So imagine raising the minimum wage all these times and still not having the same purchasing power as people did 50 years ago. that's not progress. People are broker. We're more broke than in the 60s. But this is what Mitt Romney is advocating for. Now let's talk about Mitt Romney some more. So Mitt Romney was booed recently at some Republican event in Utah. I don't know, you guys. So he was talking. He was talking to some Republicans at some Republican event, and they booed him. They were like, "Get off the stage." They didn't throw tomatoes, but I mean, like, they might as well have, because it was ridiculous. So they call him a traitor and they call him a communist. And why is that? That is because he is the only Republican to have voted to impeach Donald Trump twice. Do you see how this is? Like, this is why I say to Caitlyn Jenner, like, you cannot run as a conservative, because, like, they're a very unforgiving bunch. Like, remember when I just said how, like, if you don't hate felons, immigrants, and what was the other one? Felons, immigrants, and trans people. If you, like, show compassion for any of those three groups, then you're immediately out. So here's Mitt Romney kind of going against the team here, you know what I mean? By voting to impeach Donald Trump twice, and being the only person in Congress to do so that's a Republican, you have gone against your team. And here is what your decisions have wrought. You are now being booed. You can't go to your own Republican fan club without having the tomatoes thrown at you. Like, you get booed off the stage. Imagine that. Imagine having all this love, and then just because of two little votes, they can't stand you anymore. I love to see it, but it's like, you can't come to our side. So here's the thing. Let's talk about doing the bare minimum and crossing the picket line. So Mitt Romney has crossed the picket line. So remember last year when, I forgot where it was, probably in Utah somewhere. My allergies are going so crazy, you guys. I keep like clicking my throat. Hold on, I need some water. I can't with these stupid allergies. Anyway. So remember, I think it was last year when Mitt Romney was walking in a Black Lives Matter march. I was like, what? I couldn't believe it. I thought it was the weirdest thing. And here's the thing. Why do I think it's the weirdest thing, right? Because one should look at someone marching in a Black Lives Matter march and think, okay, cool. I didn't think it was cool. You know why I didn't think it was cool? Because Mitt Romney literally stands for the systems that put Black people where they are today. So it's like, I don't see it as a positive. I don't see it as like... So, let's talk about doing the bare minimum. He's doing the bare minimum. But everyone was all like, oh, wow, Mitt Romney's marching. Oh, what? Who cares? Who cares that one Republican is marching in a Black Lives Matter march? He's not going to do anything. He's not going to actually help dismantle the institutions that caused this mess. He is in the Mormon church. The Mormons didn't allow Black people to become Mormons until, like, the 80s, because money was involved. Like, the Mormons don't like Black people. So it's like, you're still part of this church. How are you going to march for Black Lives Matter and still be a Mormon? I'm sorry to tell you, like, I don't care what the institution is saying now. So, for example, you know how when you work somewhere and someone comes in and they're upset about something that you did not do, that your manager did not do, but someone maybe in the corporate office did, and you apologize on their behalf because you represent that organization because you are at work? Mitt Romney, you need to apologize. You need to, I know that you didn't deny, actually, I don't even know. I don't know if Mitt Romney denied black people admittance to the Mormon church, but let's pretend that he did not. Let's pretend that he didn't have that kind of power yet. You still need to apologize, because if you are going to be such this figurehead in the Mormon church, you need to apologize. I'm sorry to tell you. You need to apologize, and you need to denounce them. You need to say, they messed up, and I'm apologizing for it on their behalf. Because that's what I would do at work. That's what I would have to do at work. That's what you would have to do at work. That's what anyone else would have to do for any organization that they are a part of. Okay? It's not just that he goes to that church. Okay, he is acting, no, it's not that he's employed. I mean, I'm sorry, it's not that he just goes to that church, he's employed. So it's like, you marching is not good enough. It's not good enough for me. It's not impressive to me. Sorry to tell you. And next, let's talk about crossing the picket line. Mitt Romney is crossing the picket line, and no one should be happy about that. I don't care if he's on the opposite side and coming over to join us. You have done too much wrong for me to ever consider you an ally. Sorry. Sorry to tell you. Mitt Romney ran against Barack Obama in 2012 and lost. And lost. And his ticket was run on, you know, anti-gay marriage, and for that, I'm sorry, you are forever finished. In my book, anyway, you are finished, because you guys, if you guys stand for something, then stand in it in all situations. I don't care that someone is just now coming around to the other side and saying, oh, maybe this is okay. Oh, maybe I was wrong about this. I don't care. You did so much damage that now you just sit there and look at the ashes. You are king of the ashes, and that is what you get to be over there. Now, what I'm saying is, it's nice that he is saying that, you know, that he's marching for the Black Lives Matter movement. I'm saying you can't come sit with us after doing that. Like, great, cool, fine. Like, you're another voice, you're another person marching. But I don't care. It doesn't make a difference to me. Because remember, he's doing the bare minimum. He's not actually actively trying to dismantle the situations that cause oppression. He's not trying to dismantle the institutions that have caused black people suffering. One being the Mormon church! One being the Mormon church, you guys! So, sorry, Mitt. Like, you're gonna have to try it with someone else. You're gonna have to try it with somebody else. People have been crossing the picket line for quite a little bit, especially in 2020. It's where, remember when Kim Kardashian was going into, and another thing is, you guys all have to stop praising these celebrities and rich people and politicians when they cross the picket line and come over to our side, because it does nothing. Remember when Kim Kardashian was going to the White House, was going to the Donald Trump office and was like, oh, we're doing prison reform. You aren't doing actual prison reform. Like there are people doing that every day. The real work, the real prison reform work is always being done, and it's being done without Kim Kardashian. So she crossed the picket line by going into the Trump office and legitimizing him, making it seem like he is being a part of this prison reform. The only prison reform he's doing is handing out pardons to Roger Stone and Paul Manafort. He's not doing actual prison reform. Kim Kardashian is not doing prison reform. I'm so sorry to tell you guys that your favorite celebrities are not doing anything important. Like, Kim Kardashian could have not done anything, and the same result would have happened. Because other real people are doing the real work without Kim. We don't need people like Kim to cross into the conservative lands to get stuff done. No, absolutely not. Moving on, let's move right along. Next, let's talk about... let's see, we talked about Gavin Newsom. Let's talk about Rudy Giuliani. So Rudy Giuliani was, most recently, was one of Donald Trump's lawyers. And so the feds have decided to raid Rudy Giuliani's apartment and his office in New York to look for possible ties to Ukraine. So, I don't know, you guys. This is a really weird story. This is a really weird situation. And actually, it's not that weird. It's just that he has made it more weird. So let me give you an example. Remember when I was talking about Matt Gaetz last week and the week before that and probably the week before that too? Matt Gaetz, when it was announced that he's being investigated for soliciting sex with a minor and paying them for it, but then Matt Gaetz gets on Fox News, I think he got on Tucker Carlson, and said that the government is not investigating him for this, but that, what did he say? He said that the Department of Justice is conspiring against him and using this fake story as leverage against him. So what he did was make it worse, right? Instead of saying, no, these allegations aren't true, he digs even deeper and says, the Department of Justice is not just accusing me of having sex with a minor and paying her. They have actually made this story up and are trying to extort me. So he made it much worse than what it needed to be. All he needed to say is no. Honestly, all you need to say is no. I mean, we all know you did it, but all you have to say is no, right? So what Rudy Giuliani did is probably, I mean, it's not, it's just weird. So instead of just denying any wrongdoing, he got on Fox News and said that when the feds were raiding his apartment, because he was there, you know, he was there because he said they came at 6 a.m., and that they wanted some hard drives. And he was like, according to him, he was like, okay, here, have it. And by the way, here's some Hunter Biden stuff. Here, take it. And they were like, no, we don't need that. You see what I'm talking about? You are making it worse. Everyone is still trying to get on this whole Joe Biden's son being involved with Ukraine. I mean, look... Is he? I don't know. And I don't really care. Because we know that nepotism always, you know, begets money, fortune, and business deals. Like, we know that Jared Kushner was only able to sell his building to the government of Qatar because of his relation to Donald Trump. But no one cared. But nobody cared. So, it's like... Like, again, who cares? We're not talking about that. The same way Matt Gaetz, like, is making up stuff. It's like, Rudy, you're kind of, I don't know, you're in the realm of making stuff up, too. Let's talk about Rudy Giuliani. So, apparently, they wanted to prosecute him since last November. So, but the Trump administration was like, oh, this is going to negatively impact our election. So, they forced them to wait. And then meanwhile, you still lost. So here we go. So now it's finally happening. So they raided his apartment and his office. They took laptops, phones. They took his assistant's laptop. I don't know. It's just like, really? Excuse me, I'm sorry. So it's just really weird. Let's talk about who Rudy Giuliani is. He's like the stop and frisk guy. He's like the you know, he takes credit for taking down the New York mob, which I don't think is really an accomplishment when, like, What if his brother-in-law was in the mob and he, like, did stuff with them? Like, Rudy Giuliani was an enforcer for, like, mob games, like card games, you know? So it's like, I don't really see that as an accomplishment when you have literal inside information. Like, you were part of this! And then he says things like he's not a racist. Meanwhile, in the 90s, when New York's first black mayor, David Dinkins, was going to announce some police reform, Rudy Giuliani led a police riot in front of the City Hall on Chamber Street. And, you know, people were swinging around nooses, shouting the N-word. You had cops on duty, standing on top of cars, shouting on megaphones. So, Rudy Giuliani is not, like, a good person. It's not, yeah, none of it is that surprising to me. But, did you guys hear that? Can you guys hear that Spanish music playing? I think someone... okay, so someone's walking in. I just got so distracted because I heard this music. I don't know if you guys can hear it, but anyway. So let's just move on from that because Rudy Giuliani is kind of boring to me. I just wanted to say that. I'm just glad that he's finally being prosecuted. I'm really glad about that. Next, let's talk about Tim Scott and Kamala Harris. I'm so done with both of these people. I'm done with Tim Scott, one, because he's a black Republican, which I think is weird. And next, I'm done with Kamala. I've been done with Kamala Harris. I'm so sick of this lady. She is like, so let's talk about Kamala. I didn't even write this down about why I'm done with Kamala Harris, but... let's bring it back. Tim Scott, even before that. So Joe Biden gave he was talking on the stage. You guys, I don't know the names of these events because I don't care. I care about what people are saying and the outcome of said words. So he was talking, giving the address, the state of the something, I don't know. And so... blah, 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 blah. He said whatever he had to say, talking about, like, oh, we need to denounce white supremacy, and blah, 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 blah. A bunch of stuff that we know that Joe Biden's not going to do. Like, that's what he's pledging that he's going to do, right? So, the next day, Tim Scott, he's black, right? And he's a Republican senator or someone, I don't know. He's dumb. That's all I know. Dumb. And so, he got on his little platform and said, America is not a racist country. I'm just like, please. And then we have Kamala Harris the day after confirming what he said. Because they asked her. They were like, oh, what do you think of what Tim Scott said? Oh, do you think America is a racist country? And Kamala Harris is like, no, America's not a racist country. But then she, like, backpedals and literally says, like, yeah, but we have to address, like... racism in this country, and like racist institutions. Like, lady, what? Pick one. Hold on, I got some water. So I'm so sick of Kamala Harris. I've been sick of her since I was sick of her when she got on The Breakfast Club. Do you see a trend here? Whenever someone gets on The Breakfast Club, then I get sick of them. So remember when she was on The Breakfast Club when she was running for president and swiftly lost? And she was like, oh yeah, I smoked weed in college. Ha 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 ha. I was like, are you kidding me? Meanwhile, she's put people away for a very long time for smoking weed while she was the district attorney in California. I just couldn't. I just can't. I really can't. Because, like, how do you joke about that? Meanwhile, people are away for the rest of their lives in jail for doing the same thing. Anyway, you guys, that's all I have to say for today. But yeah, so like I said in the beginning, I think I might take a break. I don't know when that might be. I'm thinking the whole month of June. I'm thinking maybe a little sooner. Or, you know, or maybe not at all. I don't know. We'll see. You know, I don't know. But if I don't upload, then you know that I'm taking a break. That's how you'll know. So anyway, so thank you for listening, and I'll talk to you guys in the next one.